Welcome to Divine Intervention. This is a podcast looking at the very finest and some of the best value South African wines with me, Chio Fraser, and our food and wine guru, Michael Oliphant. Sit back, enjoy, and if you've seen what the bottle is, buy one and taste it with us. Good evening and welcome back to Divine Intervention. This is a weekly podcast devised by food and wine guru Michael Oliphant and me, John Fraser, as a way of helping to promote, to educate, to entertain, and to get a few glasses of wine ourselves. We try wines, we try ports, sherries, whiskies, brandies, anything that comes from South Africa that's proudly South African and can help us to just share the word of how wonderful those hard-working farmers down in the Cape are. This evening, we, for the first time, will be trying a port. But before I introduce the port, it's time to introduce the tasters. Down in the Cape, we have Michael Oliphant, celebrity chef. You can see him on TV on the Espresso program on SABC 3 every Monday morning around 7:30. He's also a cookbook author. He does cookery demonstrations, and he writes a lot. And if you haven't checked out his website, please do. Michael, good evening and welcome.
Thank you, John. Nice to be with you again.
Well, lovely to chat to you again, Michael. And it's even lovelier that we've got a bit of booze to share, even though we're in different parts of South Africa. Isn't technology wonderful? With me at the studio to help Michael and I with some objective opinion and analysis, we welcome Mike Schussler, who was Economist of the Year, now runs his own economics business, economics.co.za. And if you're looking for comments on all sorts of useful economic stuff, you better pay him well. Dwayne Newman. Dwayne, again, somebody who's embarked on his own business and is building it up, consulting on some of the green issues that affect business, some investment issues. His company is Cova Advisory. Dwayne, good evening and welcome.
Yeah, hi, John.
Thanks so much for joining us again, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Well, having introduced all of us, I think it's time to get on to the port. We were not going to pass the port. Michael Oliphant, it's from Stellenbosch. It's a Delair Graaf Cape Vintage 2011. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, first of all, you'll notice that it's called Cape Vintage, and the port is not mentioned because by law from 2010, we were no longer allowed to call it port. I've been twice up in the Douro Valley in the north of Portugal and had some pretty formidable ports up there. And yet I come back and taste a wine like this, and really it's better than a number of things that I've tasted up there. It's made from two of the classical Portuguese port varieties, Touriga Nacional and Tinta Barroca. And it's the vines are over 10 years old, so of course they're already producing quality stuff. The base wine is made with lots of punch down, which means there's maximum extraction of color and flavor there. And then the wine is then fortified with unaged brandy spirit and a little bit of extra wine until the sort of required sugar levels are reached. And interesting enough, the alcohol of this is about 19.5, so it's not really that much higher than a fairly sort of alcoholic red wine. But they go then into 225 liter barrels for about a year, and then the wine is bottled. I'm sure you'll agree, it's a very elegant bottle where it lies down for a further 18 months before the wine is released. And I just love this wine. It's fresh. It's got the most beautiful sort of mouthfeel, and you've got the lovely red berries with a little bit of sort of cranberry pomegranate. There's sort of crisp and spicy stuff, beautifully polished by the oak, and nice tannins and a lovely long sort of waning gently aftertaste.
Dwayne, are you enjoying this Delair Graaf Cape Vintage 2011? We're not allowed to call it port, but it is.
John, I'm enjoying it. And this time of year, when it's sort of been cold and chilly, I love to bring out the port. In a lot of places I've been to, I ask for a port when I start, as opposed to at the end of the meal. And I do get some odd looks, from the wine steward. But yeah, I've always liked to start with a nice, good port to get me going for the evening, and this one is, I'm enjoying it. So I think it's, I agree with Michael, it compares to the best.
Dwayne, that's not odd at all. As you know, I lived in Belgium a long time, and it's fairly common for people in Belgium to have a glass of port before the meal. I think maybe the English tradition of passing the port and having the cigars after a heavy meal has dominated our thinking on this, but I have no hesitation in drinking this any time of day. It's, as Michael suggested, it's no heavier than some of our heavier red wines, but it's very enjoyable. It's got beautiful sweetness to it, a bit beautiful complexity to it. My only problem is knowing when to stop. But what do I know? Mike Schussler.
Well, it's the first time I can think of a Stellenbosch port. Normally they come from Karlitzdorp and those areas. I didn't know much about ports, just quick history. But my wife's aunt collects ports. And she collects South African, well, we're not allowed to call it port, and right through to Portuguese ports and the like. And it's one of the pleasures that I've developed in some. And I must say, this one is a bit young, but it's really, yeah, tasty. I could really like this one and live with it. I might not know enough about the depth of all the ports should be, but to me, this is very pleasant. I could have it with a chocolate, although I'm diabetic.
Michael Olive here. We're drinking a port out of fairly small glasses, but I was the one that did the pouring, and I hope our studio guests won't say that I was too mean with it.
All right.
Well, there's plenty more in the bottle. But my point is, I was in a restaurant the other day, and somebody had ordered a brandy and was given a single gill or whatever the dose was in a very large brandy glass, and it looked pathetic. They'd floated a few coffee beans in it for some reason to make it look a little more alluring, but honestly, it wasn't a mouthful, it was a sip. Now, if somebody orders a port after a meal in a restaurant and there aren't too many drink driving issues, which of course we must be aware of, how generous should you be when pouring a port?
Well, I think classically, you'd get six glasses of wine from a bottle if you're pouring a mingy glass. We tend to go probably about four glasses of wine per bottle. Traditionally, it's 15 glasses of port or sherry from a bottle. But I always think that you want probably a double top, which is what, 50 milliliters, isn't it? 50 milliliters is a goodly amount.
Mm. Mike Schussler, do you agree?
Yeah, I've noticed that the people that drink port, the glasses are definitely a little bit bigger than a top glass. Mm. And, it's very similar in my mind to a liqueur or a light liqueur that you would have, I guess. And I think, yeah, 50 mils sounds to me quite the right amount. And, yeah.
Dwayne, when you're having your port in the evenings before the meal, is it a sip or a little bit more generous than that? Because I know you run a lot, so you're incredibly thin and fit and healthy. You can probably stand a sixth of a bottle of port in one slug.
Yeah, I think one of my vices is port, so the glasses tend to be a little bit bigger than they should be.
And I hope the wife joins in.
Not as much as you should.
Well, you're obviously going to trade her in for a more alcoholic model. But I don't think we should go down that road. Michael Olivier, you mentioned that I am wrong to call this port because it's not port. It can only be port if it comes from Portugal.
Yes.
Cape Vintage. For a while, we were allowed to call our ports, but they had to be rebranded for overseas markets.
Yes.
Now this Brussels diktat has arrived in the Cape.
Yeah, it has. Which is why they tend now to call them Cape Vintage, Tawny or Ruby, which of course are the sort of classical port types. But I think at least by calling them that, if you are exporting your product, at least you're positioning it. And the same with sherry, where where Mernies particularly now just have a full cream and a medium cream and a dry, not actually calling it sherry, which of course we're also not allowed to do anymore.
And, of course, this is a bit of a gem in port terms, coming from Delair Graf. There is a link to the precious metals, not precious metals, precious stones industry, yeah, isn't there?
Absolutely. Being one of the diamond dealers of the world, I would say.
And Delair, that's in the hills above Stellenbosch. What else do they produce? Presumably they don't focus on port.
No, they've got a wonderful variety of whites, great Chenin, great Chardonnay, lovely Sauvignon Blancs, and their reds are very special too. It's a lovely place to visit. They have a really stunning restaurant with probably one of the finest views in the Cape. And a very good chef in Christian Campbell. And then, of course, they've got these lovely lodges as well where you can stay. And that has a restaurant called Indochine, which I've not yet dined, but which I hope to soon. And it's a really, really lovely place. It was the farm that was originally owned by John and Erica Platter in the early 1980s.
Never heard of them. You must guide me there, Michael. And in terms of port, in terms of affordability, I think port is ridiculously cheap in South Africa, given the quality. You don't have to go above 60, 70 rand a bottle to get something really enjoyable.
Absolutely, and I feel the same about sherry and sweet wines as well. That you can go out and buy a bottle of really fabulous Jerepigo or Muscadel. And pay 45 rand for it. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, sadly, but we will be back next week. We're almost at the end of our tasting for this evening on Divine Intervention. Dwayne Newman, do you embrace our strategy of not just drinking wines, but also trying other bits of booze from the Cape?
John, I think it's part of an education, and even my own education over the years. I think I'm starting to appreciate all the different sort of categories of wines, and I look forward to further shows.
Mike Schussler, how about you? Do you think it's useful for us to go beyond red, white, and bubbly and rosé, of course, to other types of
Yes, I think. In the bigger picture, the industry is growing and widening in South Africa. And having been to the Southern Cape recently with Ratebos, an economic convention, one of the best things that I got to learn from Professor Piet Strydom at that stage, and don't want to be too boring, but was how to drink a cognac. And it turned out to be what we call a pot still brandy. And it was a Boxburg, and it was one of the best experiences in my life ever.
Well, nobody ever needed to teach me how to drink a brandy, Mike, but that is my private grief. Unfortunately, this tasting session has to come to an end. So many thanks down in the Cape to Michael Olivier, who has taught me not to say port too often in the podcast. Michael, great chatting to you again.
Pleasure, John. Thank you.
And in the studio, many thanks once again. I think it's the third in a series of tastings we've been doing with our studio pair this evening. Dwayne Newman, many thanks. Great to chat to you, and I hope it hasn't been too torturous.
No, it sounds to be very enjoyable. Thank you very much.
And Mike Schussler, feel free to pour yourself another.
I will.
And great seeing you again. From me, John Fraser, many thanks for tuning in to Divine Intervention. We look forward to chatting to you again next week.